I love that song. Jesus, Lamb of God, He is so worthy of our praise, isn't He? It's good to see you this morning. I hope you've had a good week and a good day so far. I was telling the earlier service, because today is Child Dedication Day, it's a joyful occasion to dedicate some babies later in our service to the Lord. And at the same time, I know that in your life as well as mine, there's great heaviness. Our bodies wear out. Our friends and family and relatives die. And so our hearts are torn between the joy and the sorrows of life. But I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad we have Sunday mornings to worship, aren't you? I'm so thankful to God and His goodness and His blessings to us. I'm so thankful for the Easter season. And as we started last week, we're starting in this, moving through this series called It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. We're going to continue that for a little while, and then we're going to go to our baby dedication later. But before we go any further, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful. We got so much to be thankful for. I'm so thankful, Father, for these that are here this morning. Some are in wheelchairs, and some have walkers, and some have canes, and some are in the vibrancy and the joy and the strength of life. But we have come to worship You. And not only in this congregation, but there are congregations gathering all over our communities in Minnesota and this nation and North America and the world. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit would have freedom, would have Your way. May we as pastors and shepherds and leaders just lay our agendas aside and let Your Spirit have complete freedoms. And I pray that Your Spirit today would minister to those that hurt. God, our hearts hurt. I just spent an hour with Jordan on Tuesday, only to have his dad call me yesterday and say he's already gone. Our hearts hurt from the loss of friends and family and from sicknesses and difficulties and loss of job and difficulties in marriage and all this stuff our lives sometimes find ourselves in. Father, we need You today. May You, by Your Spirit, speak to our hearts, speak to our ears. May we hear Your voice through the music. Maybe it's some words that we've already sung. May we hear Your voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Through Scripture, thank You, Father, for our little ones. Thank You for children and babies and young people and teenagers and millennials and right on up the ladder. Thank You, Father, for each and every generation. Every generation is special and important and unique and different. And today, when we get ready to dedicate some children, we're just so thankful for new life. Babies, such a blessing, such beautiful little blessings. And so we pray today that all we look at and all we look through, that Your Spirit would guide us and lead us and comfort those that hurt, touch bodies that hurt, save the lost, set the captives free, give sight to the blind, revive Your church. Revive us, O God. We need You in America. Comfort Your persecuted ones around the globe that are dying. In Africa again last week, North Korea, China, and around the globe, Your people are dying just because they're Christians, just because they say, I am going to follow Jesus. Comfort those families. Comfort Your persecuted church. Strengthen them. Use them to bring You glory and equip them to continue to let their light shine for You in the face of persecution and death. Guide us this morning as we continue our series, Lord, and look at your servant Isaiah's words from a long time ago, and speak to us. As Jesus said so often, as your scripture says, may we be those today that have ears that hear. Speak to us by your Spirit, O God. We've come to worship you. We pray this in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. I told you last week, those of you that had a chance to be with us, is based on the sermon title from Tony Campolo. I don't want you to think it's original with me. It's not. I just love the title. I loved his sermon 25 years or so ago. And so I've just used this title to expand on this Lenten season for a little bit. And those of you that didn't happen to have a chance with us last week, the idea is that the darkness of Crucifixion Friday and the hope of Sunday. Quite a contrast, isn't it? The darkness, the heaviness of Friday, and the joy of the empty tomb on Sunday. And so that's what this sermon series is entitled after. And I'm just building a picture for us as we work our way through and up to Good Friday and Easter. Last week, we looked at Genesis chapter 3. A lot of you remember that. And we looked at how darkness had settled in over humanity in the Garden of Eden. I think you all know the story. And now I want to fast forward 3,500 years from the Garden of Eden up into Isaiah. Isaiah is giving us this message somewhere around 700 BC. And so we're going to fast forward through so many things that we could talk about. The flood, when God judged humanity. We all know about the flood. We all know the results. We're going to fast forward through that. We're going to fast forward through the Tower of Babel, where God confused and confounded the language, and people were spread out all over the globe with different languages. We're going to fast forward through the time of the calling of Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees into what God would call the Promised Land. We're going to fast forward through the 400 years that they spent in Egypt, fast forward through the 400 years of the time of Judges, fast forward through 300 more years of the kings, and we find ourselves at Isaiah chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles. So we could have talked about all of that stuff, but I think you know enough about that. We're going to jump right to Isaiah, and we're going to continue our journey in It's Friday. Darkness has set in, but Sunday's coming. That's good news, amen? Isaiah chapter 1 says this. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, Isaiah is a prophet. We know that. Isaiah has a word from God. Isaiah's word from God is to God's people. We see here the people in Judah and Jerusalem. Now, if you know a fair amount about your Bible history, and I know that you do, you know that just a few years prior to this, the northern 10 tribes have already been carried away by the Assyrians because of sin. God has judged the northern 10 tribes, 722 BC, and they have been carried away by the Assyrians into slavery, captivity, and death. Now Isaiah has a word for Judah and Jerusalem, the only ones left of God's people in the Promised Land, but they haven't exactly been towing the line either. That's why God's word through Isaiah to Judah and Jerusalem. Here's what he said. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Here's what God said. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, we dedicated some babies earlier in the earlier service, and we're going to dedicate some more in the later service. Now, put yourself in a parent's role, because most of you have been a parent. You may be grandparents. you have some connection with children. Put yourself in this place for a moment. You've raised up your baby. You've raised up your son or daughter. They've got to, let's say, 14, 15, 16, and they have developed their own mind and their own way of thinking, and they start to rebel against you. Matter of fact, they go flat out against what you're saying. Anybody ever witnessed that? That's what I thought. The little babies we dedicate today, they're not that rebellious yet. Here's my point, though. When you've raised them up, you've committed this time, this energy, this money even, but all you've committed these years into this young woman, this young man, and they get to this point, it may be 14, it may be 24, or somewhere in between, but they get to this point in time, and they say, in essence, by their behaviors and their action, I want nothing to do with you, grandparents, parents, step-parents, or whatever it is. They rebel against you. How are you going to feel? This is the heart of God right here. When he says, I have nourished children. I have brought them up. I have instructed them. I have provided for them. I have loved them. I have cared for them. And they have rebelled against me. This is the heart of God. All the way from Adam and Eve, we saw that story last week. All through the times that we could have taken time for between then and Isaiah. All the way to today. God can, has, and does say the same thing. I have nourished and brought up children. And they continue to rebel against me. He says this in comparison, as if that isn't enough to get our attention. He says this, the ox knows its owner. Let me just throw in a little sidebar there. You've heard the phrase, dumb as an ox. Have you heard that, brothers and sisters? Now you're starting to get the comparison here. God says, the ox knows its owner, the donkey, its master's crib. In other words, the donkey knows where he's going to lay down at night, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Oh, sinful nation. Alas, sinful nation, God says. A people laden with iniquity. A brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. These are God's people. He's not talking about the Moabites over here or the Philistines over here or the Syrians up here. He's talking about his people. Darkness of Friday has settled in upon humanity. Children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. And I submit to us today, brothers and sisters, not only has darkness settled in on humanity in Eden, Genesis chapter 3, we looked at that last week, in B.C. 700, when Isaiah is addressing the people of God, but I submit to you, darkness has settled in on America, and we need the light of Jesus. We desperately need the light of Jesus. And I said this before, and I said it again this morning already, and I'll say it again to you, and you might get tired of hearing it. He is not talking about the attitude, I believe in God, Jim. What else is there? He is talking about an attitude of people that will follow him, that will listen to his word, that will trust Christ, be led by the Holy Spirit of God, and be obedient unto his word because they have trusted Jesus. He's talking about people that are wholeheartedly coming after the Father. In our case, and through the Son, he's not looking for people that said, well, maybe I can get to church once a month or so. Getting there at all is good, but he's talking to us, he's talking to us from a standpoint of, I want people with a heart that is for me, so much for me that everything else pales in comparison. He's talking to his people that knew the Ten Commandments, they knew the ways of Moses, they knew what they had in Scripture, and yet he says, he concludes this about his people: they have forsaken the Lord. If God is only getting what I got left over, maybe once a month, or maybe if I ever get time to get in the Word, or maybe if I have time to have a little prayer, if only when I'm in trouble do I call upon Him, then we have been just like Israel and we have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked me to anger, God said. The Holy One of Israel, they have turned away backwards. Then he says, why should you be stricken again? He has punished them, trying to draw them back. You remember what the Bible says? The Lord chastens whom he loves. Do you remember that, brothers and sisters? Old Testament, New Testament, nobody remembers it. Well, it is in there. He chastens whom he loves. Why does he chasten us? To draw us back from our own sinful directions. And here he says through Isaiah, why should you be stricken again? In other words, why bother chastening you? Look what he says in the next verse. You will revolt more and more. I chasten you. I try to bring you back. I give you warning signs. I get after you a little bit, God is saying, and you revolt more and more. That's what he's saying about his people. Then he says this, talking about his people, 700 BC, but the application is dead on for today. The whole head is sick. The leadership, pastors, he could be talking rabbis, he could be talking high priests here. The whole head is sick of my people. The whole heart faint from the sole of the foot, even to the head. He said, there isn't any soundness left in my people. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They haven't even put band-aids on them. Jim's paraphrase. My whole people are sick. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet. They're sick. Darkness of Friday has settled in on his people. Darkness of Friday has settled in on America. You say, Jim, I don't buy it. I'll read you some headliners here from a Christian magazine in just a minute to enlighten us a little bit about the spiritual condition in America. God says further in verse 12, he's talking to his people. Now, this is important for us to understand because we're in church today. And he's talking to his people. He says in verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? In other words, when you come to the feast, they have several of them per year. When you come into Jerusalem and you come into the temple, when you come to have your celebrations and you come to maybe into your synagogues, but certainly into the temple, he says, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies. Why? He says, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. He's saying to them, you're going through the motions of coming to worship. You're going through the motions of going to the synagogue, going to the temple, going to the church for the 21st century, and you're full of sin at the same time. He says to them, don't bother. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. They were so full of idolatry and other manners of sin, and they were just coming to kind of limp through and slug through the motions of doing church. He said, don't bother. I reminded us last week, it was a heart condition. When the darkness set in on humanity, it's a heart condition. And he wants our hearts, not just me, not just Jim or anybody else, slugging through the motions. He says, you come before me for your festivals, your Sabbaths. You come before me, and he said, you come before me with iniquity into the sacred meeting. He said, I cannot endure it. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Why? Your hands are full of blood. You see the heart of God? Darkness has settled in on humanity. And we're going through the motions in America, and we're saying, well, I'm a pretty good person, Jim, after all, I'm better than she is. Or we're going through the motions of saying, well, after all, I'm a member of the church, Jim, and we're going through the motions of saying, well, this or well, that, and we haven't gotten in any other category than these folks are right here, because we haven't been surrendered to Christ. We haven't been, as Jesus said in John chapter 3, born again. And if we have, in some cases, we find ourselves in the same category as Israelites that day, who found it more pleasurable to do their own thing rather than walk with Jesus. He's calling attention to his people that day, as he is to us, repent and turn back to God. It's Friday in Judah, in Isaiah chapter 1. The darkness has set in. It's Friday in America. Darkness and sin have overtaken even his people. And we can say, yeah, Jim, I know all about that. I know that. What's this got to do with anything? How desperately we need the light of Jesus. How desperately we need to repent of our fallen nature, of our sinful nature. How desperately we need to come to Christ by faith. It is Friday in Isaiah chapter 1. It is Friday in America today, dark and dreary, and we are in desperate need of the hope of Jesus. Not just an arbitrary head knowledge, but a surrendered life to the Son of God, led by the Spirit of God, instructed from the Word of God. We are in desperate need of the light of Sunday. I'm going to get to our babies in just a moment. Let me read to you what I'm talking about. I was reading in the magazine called Vine and the Branches the other day, and these are some of the headlines. The first one is, abortion is big business. Planned Parenthood President Leanna Wen says, and I quote, abortion is a fundamental human right. The next one says, and I've talked about this a moment before, and I don't mean to belittle it, but the same subject matter, different story. New York's abortion law. This story said, ironically, New York does not allow the death penalty for the most egregious crimes in adults, yet it does permit lethal injection to kill an innocent baby even moments before birth. Or this headline. This is the headline, kill the babies, save the caterpillars. Two different bills were up in the Virginia House not that long ago. You heard the governor speak to that, the governor of Virginia speak to that in some cases not that long ago. They were going to follow right along behind New York and allow killing of babies even up until the point of birth. And here's the headline. Kill the babies, save the caterpillars. Bill 2491 would have said, extinguish babies even to the point of birth. Bill 2495 said, cankerworms must be protected. Do you see the irony? Do you see the paradox? The Bible reminds us in Isaiah's time, we're sick from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We have lost our moral compass because we have turned our back on God. You say, Jim, I haven't turned my back on God. Have you given your life to Him completely? And I hear the argument, well, I believe in God. What have you done with Jesus? He is the Savior. He is the only one going to redeem us from our sin. And only when we give our lives completely to Christ will the Holy Spirit of God come in and help direct us in life and help us understand just a little bit more of the Word of God. Only Jesus. How about this headline? Listen closely to the first two words. Atheist minister retains her job. Minister Vosper has been open about her atheism and her lack of belief in the Bible. And I quote from their church, prayers are turned into community sharing. Hymns have been rewritten. Talk of God and Jesus have been replaced with talk of love and compassion. I have nothing against love and compassion. You've heard me on a many occasion how Jesus has instructed us to love our neighbors, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and to even love our enemies. That is from Jesus. But we do not love at the expense and the exclusion of Jesus. We do not love at the exclusion of God. After all, it is the Word of God that says we love because He first loved us. And this pastor is saying we have replaced words of God and Jesus with love and compassion. We have replaced praying to God and Jesus with prayer, with community sharing. We don't even sing the hymns no more. We have rewritten them. We are sick in North America from the top of our head to the soles of our feet because we have turned our back on God, just like Isaiah chapter 1. Or how about this headline in the same magazine, seminary student dances in drag. Seminary student, you know what they're preparing for, do you not, brothers and sisters? Hello, are we awake? This means yes, I understand. Seminary students are people preparing for the ministry. This headline is, seminary student dresses in drag. A student at Luther Seminary, yes, that's right here in Minnesota, recently performed in drag at a lip sync contest. The performance was met with laughter and applause and cheering, and the soon-to-be pastor proudly announced he took home the trophy. Do you recall what God said in the Old Testament and then Peter reiterated in the New when God said to His people, be holy, H-O-L-Y, for I am holy. That's what God expects of His people, not this behavior. Sick from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We ain't even putting Band-Aids on no more. Or this story headline, then I'll quit and we'll get on to something funner like dedicating babies or something. Drag Queen Story Hour. Philadelphia Public Library hosted a Drag Queen Story Hour, the fourth one this year in the state. And it's happening not only in Pennsylvania and in that area, but it's happening all over, including Brother Charles told me right here in our own community just a week and a half ago. What's the big deal, you might say? Preacher, why are you so uptight about this? Listen to this. This drag queen in Philadelphia Public Library, their stage name is Antichrist. Are you hearing me? A play on words for Antichrist. Christ, reading to our children in the libraries that are public. You say, Jim, no big deal. It is a big deal. Darkness has settled in on humanity, and we have turned our back on God. We have gone and done exactly the way they did in the Old Testament. We're doing what's right in our own eyes. That gets people to hell. It got people judged in the Old Testament. It got people judged in the New Testament in Revelation. We might end up this whole story in Revelation someday. When we do what's right in our own eyes, it's because we have walked away from the precepts and the ordinances of God. That's why I read these conditions of America to us. Folks, it's Friday in America. Darkness and sin has taken over, and we are in desperate need of the hope of Jesus Christ. We are in desperate need of the hope of the empty tomb on resurrection morning. We are desperately in need of heaven, a little heaven on earth. And it'll none of it happen until we are surrendered completely to Jesus Christ. This is not a, I told you this last week and I'll quit with this. This is not a church membership thing. This is not a denominational thing. This is not a baptism thing. This is, I know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I know I'm a sinner, and I know my only hope is in Him. I repent of my sin. I believe in Him, and I receive Him by faith and commit to follow Him. These people, they were following themselves, kind of like we're doing a lot in America today. That's not going to get it done on Judgment Day. And so I remind us of this. The darkness has settled in over humanity. From the Garden of Eden, through the flood, through all those other times, up until 700 BC when Isaiah spoke to us, through the time of Jesus. We'll look at that next week from John chapter 1. The darkness has settled in over America in the 21st century. We desperately need the hope of Jesus. We desperately do. We will never be part of heaven until we have repented of our sin and believed on and received Jesus Christ and committed to walking with Him. Just because those people said, well, I'm a Jew. I'm good to go. I'm a descendant of Abraham. Just because they had some heritage in that doesn't mean they're right with God. Just because we sit in a church house in America today or we don't sit, it all boils down to what have I done with Jesus? Darkness has settled in. But Sunday is coming. Hallelujah. Sunday will come. The tomb will be empty. It is empty. And heaven does await for everybody that has loved the appearing of the Son of God and surrendered completely to Him. If you've never done that, friends, see Pastor Charles or myself or your pastor, understand from the Word of God how it is faith that saves and our willingness to follow Jesus. Amen. Babies are a blessing. Amen? Fun little rascals. At least till they get to be teenagers. Then it's a little challenging. Oh, not all teenagers are challenging. Some are little angels, I suppose. Here's what baby dedication is all about. I've invited some folks here that were wondering about that, and I'm glad you're here. And we dedicated some babies in the first service. We're going to dedicate another one now. But here's what baby dedication is all about. In the time of Jesus, Mary and Joseph took Jesus into the temple on day 8 to do what? To dedicate Him to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, from Mary and Joseph's perspective and from ours, to say, thank You, Lord, for this baby. And the second thing we do about with baby dedication is we ask the parents to commit to raising their child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because that's actually what the Bible says. Remember, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's our responsibility, dads, granddads. That's ours. Provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. So these parents are committing I'm going to raise my baby in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what baby dedication is about. Now, let me just say a word about baptism, because the Free Methodist Church over the generations has in fact recognized baby baptism, but we don't do it here as much as we do dedication, because perhaps the main reason is Charles and I and our superintendent, we don't want to send to you the wrong message that water saves. Water doesn't save. Okay, you still with me? The Bible is crystal clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. Study Acts and you'll see they were baptized because they have arrived at that place of surrendering to Christ. Every occasion, when Jesus had been here and he sent his disciples, go out and tell others about me and make disciples. Then he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the instruction of Jesus. We do baptize people all the time. But we dedicate babies because we do not want to send a false message to anybody that water is the saving grace. It isn't. God is the Savior. God's grace and our faith. Yeah, but you say, Jim, yeah, but what about the idea that I've been told, and maybe I've even been instructed a little bit, if my baby isn't baptized as a baby and they die or something, they're going to go the other way. What about that? Let me just say this, friends. God is not looking for ways to send babies to hell. Are you hearing me? I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm serious. God is not looking for ways to send babies to hell. That's not who God is. God in His grace loves children. Read the Scriptures. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, because such is the kingdom of God, such as these that have faith like a little child. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit loves babies. I don't mean to get all passionate on you or anything. This is serious stuff. Water isn't what saves us. Not a baby, not an adult. It's when we come to the understanding, I need a Savior, and I put my faith in the Savior, that's what saves us. And if I'm a baby that doesn't understand that, and I happen to have tragedy strike, and I happen to die, those are ushered into the presence of God because of His grace. He's not looking for ways to send folks to hell. If we never choose Him as adults or our teenagers or whenever we reach that age of accountability, that understanding, if we never choose Him, we will come to the end of life and He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because we never chose to follow Him. That's why. Not because of water. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And Jesus assured him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so, forgive me for being passionate, but this is serious stuff. We need to know what saves. We need to know what doesn't. So, bring this lovely lady up front. And your support team, come right along. You, good to see you, brother. Right along here, and I will address you guys. We are happy and thankful to be able to dedicate children of any age, really, babies or any age, because these parents are actually saying, thank you, Lord, for this baby, and then they're saying, I am committing to raise this baby in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I will ask you those questions when we get there.
Hi.
Dear friends in Christ, God through Moses made covenant with Israel, saying to the people, these commandments, that's a 10, I give to you today, they're to be upon your heart. And then he says, impress them on your children. That is our responsibility. To impress the ordinance of God on our children. As parents, grandparents, step-parents, adoptive, whatever, biological or non, that is our responsibility, to impress upon these children the good news of Jesus and the commands of God. Then it goes further. This is Moses back in Deuteronomy. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. It's important that we talk about the ways of Jesus and God to our little ones. It really is. Levi, her best teacher will be you and how you love her mother. You really will. Jennifer and Levi, her best instruction will come from you, from the Word of God. He loves her. He loves her so much he sent his son to die for her. And so when I encourage you with these words, talk about Jesus. Let Jesus and the ways of God become everyday conversation for her benefit. And help her to know early how much God loves her. The Bible also says, these are the words of Jesus, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That's from Matthew 19, 14. And at the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter declared regarding the salvation given through Christ, the promises to you and your children. That's from Acts 2, 39. It's therefore our privilege today to present this little girl to the Lord, and your duty as well as ours to raise her in the ways of God. And so these parents now bring their little girl in dedication to and pledge in the presence of you, this congregation, to bring her, little Esmerie, up in the Lord's discipline and instruction. So I am going to ask them four simple questions. Parents and support team can answer them together to show you their intent to raise her. Question number one, do you in the presence of God and this church solemnly dedicate this child to the Lord? Will you endeavor to live a life before this child that will give witness to your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you accept the authority of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God? And out of them, that's the Word of God, will you endeavor diligently to teach your daughter the commandments and promises of the Most High God so that this little girl may early come to personal faith in Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we will. Friends, let us acknowledge our duty to support this family with our prayers and our encouragement, thereby aiding the parents and child to fulfill all that has been promised. If you will come alongside them in prayerful support, please affirm this by standing. Okay, pretty little lady. Esmerie, even as Joseph and Mary brought Jesus in the time of his infancy to the temple to present him to God, so now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we present Esmerie hence in an act of dedication to God with a prayer that at an early age in her life she may experience his justifying and sanctifying grace. Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, thank you for this little girl and her family. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would keep them. I pray that you would make your face to shine upon them. I pray that you would grant them peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I pray that you would fill her with your Spirit and that she would come to a knowledge of Jesus at an early age and walk with Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God all the days of her life. I pray that you would encourage her whole family to encourage her and walk with her in this path we call life and instruct her in the ways of God, his precepts, and his great love for her. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Jesus Loves Me to close. Lord bless you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with your love for us, the fact that you would send your Son to die for us, may we in turn live for you with childlike faith to trust and to obey, to move forward from those things that hinder our walk and our journey with you. May we from this moment, especially in this Lenten season, to die to self, and to inflame our hearts with your word and with your will for our lives, that we can move forward with our calling, that your will for our life will be accomplished, and that we will glorify you and build your kingdom through the gifts and the abilities that you give to us to bring others into the kingdom as well. Help us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.